I want you to just give a round of applause for Mukumbi coming back. And we are really grateful to have Mukumbi. I'm going to give you just a little bit about him before he comes up here. And part of that is because we have quite a few people here who have never, raise your hand if you have never heard Mukumbi or seen him in this church before. We got a lot of new people that haven't. Okay, good. That's good. So I'm just going to let you know a little bit about Mukumbi. This church started years and years and years and years ago, more than 20, because it was before I ever knew him. And Mukumbi was a witch doctor, not a very good one, no offense. But his father died early. And, you know, they trained their children up. Well, he had not been trained well as a witch doctor. And his grandfather took over, and then his grandfather died. And I think the comment you heard from people was, "Your magic's not very good, you need some help." Well, it was hard to get help in a country where 90% of the people are unemployed and the average person lives on less than $2.50 a day. And so he was scraping through a living back at that time during war-torn Uganda and didn't know where to go or what to do to support his wife. And he had a friend who said, "You need to come and meet this Christian pastor." And so he went and through a series of events, found Christ, gave his heart to Christ, felt called to preach the gospel, knew he couldn't do it if he couldn't read the Bible, so he taught himself English so he could read the Bible, felt called to go and minister in a Muslim community. So he taught himself Arabic. Now, I don't know how many of you could teach yourself English or Arabic. So he could read the Quran and become an expert to relate back and forth to them. Started a mission there, which was a church that included him, his wife, and three of his relatives, which were women. Well, that church stayed with those five in a very hostile environment for many years until finally they got their first convert. And things started rolling because in the Muslim community, when someone accepts Christ, they're out of their family. They're out of the community. And so slowly, things started moving to whereas they had more and more people see what life in Christ was like. And as Mukumbi thought, okay, we've got these women coming out of here. We can't just let them starve to death. We've got to figure out a way for them to survive. And through the heart that God had given them and the wisdom that God had given them, they actually provided them a much better, stable life than they had before, which added weight to his testimony in the community. And and how people heard him started to change. That church now looks like this, but what's more important than that, there's the chicken farm, and with 85 to 90% unemployment, it's not easy to take people kicked out of the family and make them survive. And so they started that. Now they have fish ponds. They have eucalyptus trees. They have building projects. They've got an orphanage. There's a children dormitory. So you can see this has grown from five people. Pretty incredible. And they've got a Christian school that they have there. A lot of things that have happened. And these things, some of them happened through his involvement with you and your generosity helping. What I'm going to move to real quickly is, you guys remember the clinics that we did when we used to go over there and do those? Right now we're looking for a doctor to be able to do it again. But the people who came to Christ is amazing. And when you think of one man who spent almost 10 years with five people in a very hostile environment, as a matter of fact, the first time I met Mukumbi was in this church, and he had come, but his wife couldn't come because someone had rolled a hand grenade down and had killed a child next to her and injured her. And so that's a hostile environment. As a matter of fact, we had, I forgot to change that. That's old. There are now 196 churches you've planted. 196 churches have been planted throughout Uganda through that ministry of that church where people come to Christ, they train them, they buy them a motorcycle, so that they can be a taxi driver to support. They send them out into an area where there's no church to kind of lead people to the Lord and form a little church, and then hopefully take a crusade over there with medical or whatever they can do to help that church grow. And we've been a part of those things and seen the community ripe to come to Christ. And it's just a wonderful ministry. He is actually fulfilling the Great Commission in a way that I've never seen an individual do it before, other than Greg Moore with TPI in Central and South America. And it's miraculous that through this little church, God brought Makumbi from Africa and brought Greg from South America and brought them together. And now they are partnering to take the kind of things Makumbi is doing throughout Africa. And most of you in here have known Makumbi through the years. He is a gentle heart, sensitive, devoted to God, devoted to God's word. He studies it. He seeks to live and obey it. And yet he is very, very bold. And God has used him in great, great ways. And so we are grateful to see Makumbi back here. And we are grateful to be a part of everything that we've seen God do. And to have a 25-year relationship with you is incredible. So we love you. And if you'll come on up right here, will you welcome him with Christian love and great joy?
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
And as Philippians says, give him the honor that people like him deserve. Now, we talked a little bit yesterday or the day before? Oh, you're just like me. Okay, good. At some point in not too long ago, we talked, and neither one of us can remember when it was, but one of the things that Friday. I wanted to give you an opportunity, not just to mention the tables. When we came over there to start TPI, they had chairs, and everyone was sitting with a chair, and they're trying to do a seminary-like education with all their materials, their Bibles, and everything on their lap. And so I looked and I said, well, take another chair and pull that around and make it your table. Well, you know, for older people, that's not real easy. Of course, most of them are younger than us. And so tables now have been provided for them, and he mentioned something about that, and I know you know, I'm not going to tell you what thanks you do, but I'm going to give you a chance now to you asked me you want to thank our congregation, and I'm going to give you that chance.
Yes, Pastor. Again, good morning. It's a blessing. And it's such a great honor whenever I come and stand on this platform, you know, before you to share with you what God is doing in our country through you. So thank you so much for extending your hand toward us. There is no way how we could reach all these corners of our country, you know, doing all this by ourselves alone. So we thank God and we praise him for bringing you on our way. Thank you so much. Now, about those tables, they are pretty expensive. Here, maybe according to Pastor Bill, they may be cheaper, but in Africa, in our country, it's only the government offices where you would find such tables. And not every government office, but in the city, in those are like in the mayor's hall where people would come for meeting, that's where you'll find such tables. In churches in Uganda, nowhere. It's only our church which has those type of tables. So we thank God. You know, there are things which may look so light before you, but they are something on our side. So we want to thank you. Thank you so much because you are, you are helping me to take America to Uganda. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, that might scare some of us, but I think he's talking about the good parts there, like having tables.
But, yeah, that's what I meant.
But, you know, it is interesting to see how much little things like that can really open up the door for him to share the gospel. And you were talking to me about the second wave of COVID. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. I want you just to tell them the things that you experienced through that. I think that here's the question that I had for you to stir your memory. What are the challenges that you're facing as you seek to shine the light of God's truth and the love of Christ in Uganda? And how are you responding to these challenges as you strive to equip your people to fulfill your calling as ambassadors to Christ? And I want you to go ahead and start with that. You can share what you want, but I think it's an important story with what happened during that second wave of COVID.
Yeah, this is not funny, but this is something God did. You know, with everything, it may be evil or bad, but around it there's something good. So during the COVID season, we had the first wave, the second wave, and this third wave, which is or was Omicron. Now, during the first wave, of course, we suffered a lot. This is when our country was shut down. You could not move even across the road on the other side. And if you tried and the police or the authorities get you, you end up in prison or in jail, or they will whip you and maybe they will let you go, but after being whipped. So it was so serious in our country. And I don't know why they did it that way, because over here, according to some fellow friends I've run into, they said, no, we could walk, we could do things, stores were open, and, but to us in Africa, it was worse. So during the first wave, of course, I got infected, but I never went down. For me, I could move around because I have a friend, the group which came and, met one of my friends, those who are, close in the government. So I had a friend, he's a high-ranked officer in the army. He's one of the 15 guys who are holding the security of our country. He's a friend of mine. So he called me one day and said, Makumbi, he's not born again. He's not a Christian. He said, you are my pastor. I said, oh, yes, sir. I can't forget you. You are my sheep. I'm your pastor. So anyway, he laughed. And then he said, Makumbi, I don't want to, give you a piece of advice, but I'm instructing you. And please forgive me because you are my pastor. I said, no, there's no way I can't forgive you, because if I do it, I will not be forgiven in heaven. So I don't want to be to reach there unforgiven. So anyway, he went on and said, Pastor, I know you are doing these kind of businesses. Your church is doing chicken. He mentioned all, because he knew I took him around. And he said, please, I'm not advising you, sell off all your business, your activities, your birds, your everything, fish, sell them off. Because if you don't, you're gonna lose it. In few weeks, we're gonna close or shut down the country. And there's no way how you get the chicken feeds. Nobody will help you to go there, because I'm ready to help you. I'll give you a pass. This is a document which allows me to move around. So he gave me that piece of, pass slip so that I could move around. So for me, I could move freely. Now, this is what happened. The country was shut down. People started starving. This was in the first COVID. The second, it was worse. So I said, there's no way I can watch, especially my church members, you know, dying, you know, just seated there. And yet I have a friend. So I sent an email to Bill. I said, sir, this is what is going on in our area. People are starving to death. They need something, please. So what Bill did, he put some money together and he wired it. Listen to what this did to the community. We bought the food, and remember, the government, our government, your government gave to our government millions of dollars. They first sent, during the first COVID, the first wave, they sent $800 million. Then they sent a second donation of $200 million to support the people who were starving. Do you know what they did? The government decided only to buy or to provide food for the areas around the capital city, those slum areas. Of course, they started doing it, giving food, including the region where our church is, the Kawempe division. Do you know what happened? From the food they brought to feed our division, less than 100 homes got the food. And the biggest percentage out of those 100 homes which were given food were the families who could afford to support their families. But the least one, the lowest class which needed food was not reached. And that was all. That pained me, that hurt me. It raised a lot of questions in my mind, which I could not provide answers anyway. Anyway, Pastor Bill sent us some money. We bought food and we fed with that money from this church. Of course, it was not $10,000, it was less. We bought food and we were able to feed 700 families. And thank you so much. And the food we bought for those families they ate it for a month because we bought 30 kilograms of maize flour, we bought 20 kilograms of rice, we bought 10 kilograms of beans, salt, sugar, cooking oil, and two laundry bars of soap. You know, a laundry bar of soap is this length. So we bought it to each family two bars of soap, and we sent them, you know, we took them. Of course, I had my pickup, and I put them on my pickup and drove around, because for them they were not allowed to come to the church or to move around. And that was it. So what did that do? That opened a highway to six families, Muslims, to give their life to Christ. Because in this area of ours, every corner is a mosque. Every corner is a mosque. And none of the mosques gave food to their believers. So for us, we did, and we never discriminated. We, you know, even the Muslims, we gave those who were really at the edge of their grave. We supplied them food, and it was great. That was one thing which was caused by the food. Then the second, in the Because we were able to, our major focus was on the church members, and we fed them all. That alone proved to this, you know, this is how the church was turned, you know, their hearts were turned around. Because of that love, because of that care, they started to say, wow, our pastor is caring for us. So that caused, we did not lose any member, you know, like to some other churches, not everyone came back to church. Others, because we were, you know, our country was closed down for 2 years. So some of the believers, they, you know, they lost their faith, they became lukewarm, they were weak, to the point that some of them never came back to church. But for us, all our members, they came back to church. Because what this food did, it stirred, it rekindled the love of God inside of them. So we want to thank you, because I don't believe that Bill did it himself, but together you did it, and you extended your hand toward us in Uganda. Thank you so much. You can't imagine how much that touched the hearts of our people and also the neighborhood. Because in the neighborhood, our church, which was we still have that silent war, you know, these are the Muslims, they still have a silent war against our church, but at least with what we are doing in this neighborhood, it has put more pressure on the community, forcing them to love us anyway. So the gap between the church and the community every day is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, especially through this experience. It moved from here to here. So thank you so much for standing with us in Africa. Thank you. Again, there is no way, brethren, there is no way, depending on our income as a church, because between 80 to 85% are, you know, they are unemployed, and that's not only in our church but also in the entire country. So there is no way we could provide food for our community, for the church community. There is no way. But because of you, God has enabled us to do what we are doing. And please thank you. And on that day, when we will stand before him and, lining up, maybe to crown us or maybe to reward us, whatever the reward would be. But when we will line up, and when you turn behind you and you see those black faces behind you, please don't ask, who are these behind me? Remember that when you did what you did to extend your or to stretch your hand toward Africa, those were the results, those are the fruits, those were the outcomes. So please just say yes. And when the angel says, do you know who those lining behind you? Do you know who they are? Just say, yes, I do. Then who are they? Those are my friends from Africa. Again, thank you so much, and may God bless you. The question you asked me.
Well, you answered it pretty well.
I tried.
That's really what I wanted.
All right.
I do want to kind of correct one little thing in there, and that is that we all know, sitting in this room, that that line of people at the judgment, they're not going to be there because of us. They're going to be there because we partnered with the people on the ground.
Yes.
Who touched them.
Yes.
And And Aaron was looking at the figures and stuff. I think last year we sent $29,000 to help fund what you just saw in Africa, and that's I think that was in three separate different things that or offerings. But when we came and we said, hey, they need money for food. We had I think it was $7,000 just like that, and we sent it right off. And in our congregation, we don't tell people where to give. We don't even take an offering. But we do encourage you to seek to God where God is leading you. And if God puts something on your heart, we are grateful for people who follow through. And we wanted to give you a little picture of the fantastic harvest that God has given. When it says that you can reap, a hundredfold, we have seen that with every seed that we've put in Macumbi's hands that he has planted. And it's just amazing to see how one man who educated himself, God could raise up to touch an entire nation, and they've got churches almost in every corner of Uganda. And I thought of this verse, because I knew what you were going to say, but I didn't know how you were going to say it. So you put it so perfectly in that segment. But it says, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, the ones that are missed, and in his country, it's easy to be in the category of people who are completely missed. But anyone who is my disciple, truly I tell you that that person will certainly not lose their reward. And it's important that when they do this in the name of Christ. And they do this taking care of their people first and then moving out to others. But really, it's not giving a month worth of food to someone who is a non-believer or a Muslim. It's the fact that they look at the church and they realize that God's love is actually present in that church. They care about each other. They are aware of what each other is doing. And they love and they help and they put their love into action. They see God's family in the church. So they see the gift given much differently than one that might come through a care package. Yes. Or might come from the government. And so we're grateful to be a part of what you're doing. We're grateful to see the wonderful work that you're doing. And I was going to ask you amazing work of how the lost had been touched, but you already told us that. How many of you would say that every time Macumbi comes and we get just a little picture into how incredibly God has worked, that it just touches your heart? And you can almost not believe what God could do through one person. And so we're really grateful for that. I've got this scripture right here from Philippians, and it says, you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time that you first heard it until now. And we're grateful. I know that some of you are involved with supporting Macumbi. Some of you are involved with TPI. Some of you are involved with different missionaries that we have. And that's great. But the main thing is, with all we've gotten, we want to be able to share God's love. So that's good. Now, the way that we do this is, we will accept donations towards Macumbi. And one of the things that we're doing here is we're trying to divide Macumbi and TPI, because we've got two major things. In the past, they've come at the same time, and Macumbi may come back again. But during the next month, if you feel led to contribute, you can put it in the box there, or you can give it to Aaron. Don't give it to me. Because you know what'll happen. I won't know where it is. So we'll collect there until June 26th, and then we'll send things off to him. So Macumbi, I thank you for coming and for sharing. And we're just going to have a time of prayer right now. So I'm going to let you go ahead and sit back down.
Thank you.
And let's give him another. And you know, that's biblical, because the Bible tells us that we are supposed to give honor to those who have risked their life for the gospel. And that's for sure. So I'm just going to ask you right now just to bow your head, and we're going to take just a little time and let you individually just respond to God however His Holy Spirit has touched your heart. And I'm going to give you a chance just to pray. And as you do, I want you just to think about that what God has done in Macoumbi, in maybe an extreme way, just like when we read the Bible stories and we see extreme examples of principles that God has for every one of us. And just to realize that what God has done through Macoumbi, touching so many people, God has planned to do in your life. That's His desire. Jesus Christ didn't come and die on that cross because God's attention is focused solely on you to try to give you a better life. He died on that cross that you might understand that God is the King of the universe and that you might enter His kingdom. And rather than trying to serve yourself and look for your own comfort in life, you would seek to serve the Lord and to give yourself to be able to achieve His plan and purpose and redemptive hope for people around you in this world. The benefit of that is that He fills our life with joy and peace and love, and it's what every Christian should experience. And if we're struggling because we're not living in love and joy and at rest and peace with Christ, it's because we've got our kingdoms mixed up. And so I just want you, as you've heard this testimony of how God has done such a special work through one man who obeyed Him, I want you just to let this time be a time that you can respond to God and listen to what He's calling you to do and where your heart is in response to that. Maybe you've never laid your life down completely and made Him the Lord of your life. This is the time to do it. So I'm going to give you just a few moments to pray. Father, we're in awe of the things You've done through Macoumbi's life. And You may never achieve those kind of things through mine. But whatever You created me for, whatever Your plan was for me and Your purpose was for my life when You created me and the place that You put me, I want to fulfill that. I don't want to ignore it. I don't want to push it to the side and seek other things. I want Your purpose to be number one in my life. I want to first seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness, and not worry about all the other things of life, because You've already promised that I will have life in all its fullness. That's the plan I want. One that's surrendered and that's devoted wholly to seeing You first, to loving who You love that's around me, and to experience the joy that love and bond of love brings. First between us, where I know You. And second, as Your Holy Spirit connects me with those in Your family. We thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You for calling us. And we ask you to give us the faith, the strength, and the boldness to follow you wholly and obey you with all of our hearts. We give ourselves to you as Christ gave himself for us. And we thank you. Now I want you just to keep your head bowed, and Cindy and Alan are going to sing a short verse and chorus. And rather than you sing it, I want you to just let these words sink in your heart, and I want you to be praying what God brings to your mind through these words. Let this be your prayer. The second group that just came back from Uganda is teaching evangelism, which they're very strong at. And they were talking to him and saying, you know, sometimes it's hard to share your faith because sometimes people don't, you know, they don't respond well, and they can be a little sometimes even hostile towards you. I said, I didn't say this, but the group said, have any of you experienced that? And they said, oh yeah, we were just, you know, last week we were going into the Muslim community to share Christ, and they chased us out throwing stones at us. And we went back earlier this week, and they chased us out with machetes. Well, that's not what they were expecting. And Makumbi understands the heart of God, because the people who throw stones at him and chase them out with machetes are the people they took food to. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy God shows us. We don't want to ever forget that that's who God is. And that should have a profound, transforming, changing power in our hearts as we see others. I thank you for loving God. I thank you for worshiping him and taking that time to stop and look up to see who he is, who he says he is, not who people think he is, but who he is, and for trying to live in a way that pleases him. Thank you for worshiping him. Have a wonderful week, and may God be with you.